Hello and welcome to your mom's podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we're discussing Degrassi Season 3, Episode 21, Our House. Roses are red, Sean's an emancipated minor, Amy's using booze to drown all the hurt deep inside her. After months of struggling to make ends meet, Tracker has been offered a good job out in Alberta. The only trouble is, he's got to be there right away. Not only does Sean have to break up with Ellie, but he'll have to repeat grade 9, which might as well be a fate worse than death. With a little support from auto shop teacher Mr. L, Sean gets set up with student welfare so he can finish out his year. Can Sean handle this new responsibility, or will the draw of seemingly boundless freedom threaten it all? Over in the B-plot, Manny is still at an all-time low, and JT is swooping in to shoot his shot and ask her to the year-end dance. The B-plot's fun.
I mean, that's a word for it.
I don't despise it. I feel like I've gotten so annoyed with the B-plots lately because they're just such a bore. But I think in this episode, it's not that I have more fun in the B plot. It's just we all know how I feel about Sean and Ellie. Maybe I should delve a little deeper.
let's save that for the A plot.
But like, I don't enjoy the A plot as much as this B plot because I think we discussed this the last time JT and Manny kind of had a run in that their timing is off. Their flame was really hot and heavy at a very specific point, and who do we have on the show that kind of was of the opinion that this time is their more hot and heavy time?
It would have had to have been Alika.
I think that it was Alika because she says like, around the time when Craig is, you know, when her, Manny and Craig are just starting to form an attraction, or at least Manny towards Craig, and she's comparing JT and Craig, and she sees the stack of dimes and everything. There's still like an adolescent element to their relationship, whereas
the stack of dimes is after they've already, that's when they're
oh
dating.
That's after oh right
they see oh, here's
right,
my
they
thing.
Did date see that's why it's so forgettable yeah. Because their chemistry is so different take two versus the first time.
I don't like Manny and JT right now. Mm-hmm. Like, my final note for the B plot is JT and Manny don't work because she doesn't like him. She's just broken right now.
Yeah. And I think that's very astute. I think that in my opinion, I don't know how much Manny ever really liked JT. I think that she always kind of saw him as a kid and as immature. Even when they dated prior, like, it just was on a completely different level. And like you said, now she's only really showing interest toward him because she's very low and broken right now.
Right, exactly.
She just doesn't have a lot of, or anyone really showing her that sort of like, I'm going to go out of my way to get tickets and pursue you for a date. You know, because she's assuming everybody's going to think that she's a slut, which, ding, 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 future fucking boyfriend Spinner literally says, out loud to JT at one point.
It made me so mad.
I know. Because
we have this, like, actually cute JT Spinner moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, look, they've come to a place of understanding and, like, good-natured, like, ribbing on each other.
Yeah, there's not the layer of usual animosity. They've kind of come to a place where, like you said, it's good-natured, but it has to come at the expense of Manny, of course. He has to, like, differentiate his girlfriend from Manny and make it a big deal. Like I don't know. It's very distasteful, and it is one of the things that makes Spinner a character that you really do have to kind of stick with, because you have the moments where it's like, yes, he has his sweet moments, he has his moments with Paige, but then he also does shit like this, and you're reminded of the homophobia that he showed toward Marco, and you're kind of right back there where it's like, he's just very quick to call someone, you know, a slur. And it really sucks because we know that he goes on to date Manny. So whether or not that belief that is still true at that point when he dates her, you know, remains to be seen. But like, if you really, if you're thinking about it critically, it kind of, you know, I would think that it that still stands, that he thinks somewhat of like that about her, you know?
Right.
I don't really think that goes away, unfortunately, as far as guys go. In their brains, I think that there's some kind of categorization of like a good girl and a bad girl. We all know the Madonna, you know, whore complex, and it's like, it really sucks. But I mean, that is a thing that it's, everybody's put in a category, a fuckable, not fuckable, you know, wife, girlfriend, Jackie, here's Marilyn, the thing all about that.
Spinner is that. Spinner is one of the, I feel like, most well-developed Degrassi characters. I don't feel like there's a lot of dispute there.
No.
And part of what that means on a show, especially, that has this long of a run, is that a lot of Spinner's story is two steps forward, one step back.
Right. They can't. Make it, I mean, but that's, and I think we've talked about it before, but that's very human.
It's very
and human. I think it was, we were talking about it in the context of Paige and saying, like, you know, you get these big character development sectors with Paige, and then you feel like you get a storyline where she is not the focus and she is more, you know, black and white or snarky. She's giving like her ass to kiss in some sense, whereas when it's her main storyline, we get that character development. But similarly, you've got to have, like, you cannot always have the character be developed, be being developed. Sometimes the character sinks into, you know, comfortable or repeated patterns. Sometimes it's just not something that we're focusing on today. We're not focusing on Paige's stuff. We're focusing on Ellie's stuff or Sean's stuff, you know? So it's right. Definitely like we have to take that too with a grain of salt of like, it's the show can't keep all of the everybody's character development specific. Unless it's about an episode that's like devoted to them, you know, it's like they try to give us things in the background, but it's like they've got other things to do. They've got other stories to tell. We can't focus exclusively on making sure someone is developed even in the background all the time. But it sucks. Regardless of what purpose it serves in the narrative, because obviously it's just to make JT paranoid about Craig when he pops up near Manny a couple of scenes later. That's literally the purpose it serves. So we're not, I mean, you could argue that though it is within Spinner's personality, they give it to him for a narrative reason. And it's like, who else could have really pulled that off and said that, you know? Just sucks.
Right. Jimmy's already had his slut shaming phase.
Jimmy's, yeah, missing in action from this episode.
I said that to my brother in the family group chat the other day. My mom was not amused. I was like, no, it's fine. It's Degrassi. We're good.
Like, all Gucci, don't worry. Yeah, no, it's, it fits that it's him. And I'm fine with it, but I also deeply despise it. But it happens, and we move on. But then JT has to kind of project this onto the things that he sees between, and he sees very little, really. He just sees them talking, Craig and Manny talking. He sees Craig approach Manny, and they are talking on a bench outside of school. And I mean, to be fair, he doesn't ever really verbally say what Manny's like accusing him of. Of course, Manny's super insecure right now about her reputation, but he never really says, I think that you're about to go fuck him in the ravine. I firmly believe that. And that is why we are not going to the dance, you harlot. Like, no, he never said that. Right. He didn't really say much of anything other than I saw you with Craig and like, I didn't.
Poor Manny, though. She's so low. She's so low that she's jumping at the thought of going to the dance with JT.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, she should have kept the energy of sweatpants and ice cream, because to me, that is a far superior night than like cramming yourself into anything uncomfortable, but specifically dance wear or formal wear of any kind.
Well, it's saris because it's a Bollywood themed dance.
Are they comfortable, though? I'm putting them under, they like...
They look comfortable. Saris look comfortable as fuck.
They do look really comfortable, but I've seen that. So I, just this past December, my girlfriend and I went on vacation for her birthday in Mexico, and there was a really big Indian wedding, and I know of them, but I know they are obviously very grand and everything. And typically they are over multiple nights. It's not just what it's like. They do like 3 nights, I think, is like the standard or at least minimum. So we saw them. We were there for a week. So we saw them a good, you know, a quarter of half of our stay. I can't do math, guys. Half of our stay. And there were multiple outfit changes like throughout the day, not just like... per day. It was like you saw them in different saris like midday, then you saw them in the morning. So it was like, this is like,
okay, but did they look uncomfortable?
The material looked like it could be constrictive depending on what level of, and I think maybe they were different kind of saris, but the ones that you think of when you think of a like a regular like fancy looking sari, no, they didn't look uncomfortable, and it was kind of hot outside, so it looked breathable and everything too.
Nothing is more comfortable than sweatpants and ice cream.
I was gonna say,
except
maybe
naked and ice cream.
Except naked and ice cream. I think maybe the fabric looked heavy, like it could be a lot of maneuvering with a lot of fabric on your body. That's about it. But I don't know. I'd have to try one on to know if it's personally uncomfortable for me. But I do think and firmly believe in the buff is the most comfortable one can be. In the buff with a good, nice, warm room and a lovely couch or bed, some soft surface and your dessert of choice. But so we do get to see Liberty and Towers in their relationship in picture form.
That fucking notebook.
That extensively curated fucking scrapbook, yeah. I can't with Liberty, and I also can't with this show for literally giving us the cutest fucking relationship of this era in photographs only.
I want to know so much.
I want to know. Obviously,
in the A plot, there's a part where he's like in the background at the party, and I was like, is he texting Liberty?
I was thinking the same
thing. Because it looks like he might be on a phone.
Yeah, his back is to you, but he has something, like he's walking past the camera, like going from the left to the right, and he does have something in his hand. You can see the back of his jersey. I think that this is like the color, the jersey they want us to like associate with him, because I think it's similar, if not the jersey he had on prior to. In the scene where he was rubbing hands like Birdman when they first got together a couple episodes ago. But I definitely would love more information about Towers and Liberty. Do we have a ship name for them? Can we make one?
Tiberty.
Tiberty.
Lowers.
Lowers.
Livers.
Lowers, livers, or Tiberty. Those are all.
Should we open that up to a poll?
Yes, those are all so cute. I think those are all adorable, though. Yes, it shall be a poll when this episode airs.
Do us any good, though, because we'll have recorded last episode.
We shall have recorded. The justice for Towers and justice for Liberty and Towers. But Liberty encourages Manny to look at her options, and her options are JT. That is Liberty's
contribution. That is what they would call slim pickings.
Uh-huh. Very slim pickings for me. I think he's grown into his features. He looks slightly, older. He's matured.
It's nothing about his face. He sucks.
Yeah. He does. Don't work for me. They don't work for me. And I don't know that they ever really work for me. I like them as friends. I think that they're good being goofy together. I think that he brings out goofiness in Manny that we don't get to see very often, especially since Emma can be pretty fucking melodramatic all the time, and they're not really hanging out that much anyway. But prior to, you just don't get... She is very goofy. She does not get the chance to be very goofy. And I think JT gives her that opportunity. And they're like kids together. And that is literally the only thing I like about their dynamic. But it's something. And that's what makes me have a little bit more fun than the couple in the other plot. Because I think that they have good chemistry. Even if I don't like their characters together, I think that Cassie... and Ryan were just always
they have good friend chemistry.
They have good friend chemistry. They remind me of the kind of goofy buddy, they could lead a buddy comedy. I would watch that buddy comedy, and I think that they would do a great job in that dynamic of not Dumb and Dumber, but something like slapstick like that. I think that they could do a good goofy slapstick comedy. And I think that'd be entertaining, but as a couple, no, I don't need it. So many better couples, Liberty and JT, any day over JT and Manny. And I don't even like Liberty and JT that much. Controversial take.
Jibberty.
I don't even like Jibberty that much.
J Tiberty.
Yeah. They're not that great, guys. They're just not that great. It's just because he dies. But yeah.
But who's going to tell her he loved her? Because
she's oatmeal.
You're just in the mood for oatmeal.
Fuck that. Spicy sub. And I like the sub. Whatever. We'll get there. I like that it's spicy because she's an Italian, obviously. Is that the implication?
I have no idea what the implication is.
I have no idea what the implication is. I don't feel
like meatball subs are typically spicy. I mean, they can be, and I don't think that that would be bad.
I don't think that'd be bad either, but I think that that's a more... He didn't describe the oatmeal like that. He didn't say, oatmeal with, fresh fruit.
No, it's just plain oatmeal. It doesn't even have butter or sugar.
Bowl of oatmeal. Is it flavored oatmeal? Is it one of those packets? Or is it your mom cooked it on the stovetop for you and added the sugar and the butter?
No, your mom didn't even add sugar and butter. She just gave you oatmeal. She boiled oats.
She just slapped a big ladle that was gummy and... probably a little cold. This does not sound as good as a spicy. You didn't need to add the spicy in there. That's too much detail. It makes
Brady gives no detail about the oatmeal. And so I'm inclined to believe that, yeah, it's mom just...
spicy sub for you. Yeah, well, JT and his dating life in a nutshell.
Have we covered enough of the B plot, or do you want to?
I mean, yeah, it, obviously, Craig and Manny, they're not getting together. Apparently, he was just checking on her, but we don't get that scene because it's from JT's point of view. I don't think we need that scene anyway. But we know that Craig's not a complete piece of shit, supposedly, because he checks on her. But they make up, all kiss, hug, whatever, and they're going to the dance together. And apparently, calling someone a jerk in that tone is an aphrodisiac or something. I don't know. Their chemistry is friendly. It is not sexy.
It's fine.
It is not sexy, though.
I don't think that it's, like, a bad relationship for Manny.
JT?
Yeah. In this time, like, how it happens, no, I feel like...
I wouldn't say it's bad. Just a little boring.
It's a little boring. It's fine for, like, bouncing back from
grade right. You can nine. Clearly tell that this is, like, the reboundiest of, and not even a rebound, but just more like a palate cleanser of the year that she's had. She needs something simple and wholesome in a way, and earnest. And I think that that's JT. So it's good for now. It's exactly fine. Yeah. It's exactly fine. We can giddy on up to actually a couple that just really doesn't do it for me in terms of their chemistry or anything else. So it's really hard to watch them, and they dominate the episode. So yeah. Sean and Ellie are here, guys. They're back.
But can we start, because the episode starts with Sean's real one true love, and that is Jay. The thieving that they do, that mall scene so dumb. Was amazing. The thieving is so obvious. This mall has so many security guards.
So many security guards
cannot put their hands on you like that.
Fun fact, Caroline knows that I didn't know, because I don't fuck around with, like, mall security and need to be, like, threatened with physical violence. But I would assume that it's like...
What is that supposed to be? What are you saying about me?
No. I just mean that I don't... I maybe it's just that I've never cared to know, not because I've never gone in the mall and thought, hey, I wonder if any of these employees could put their hands on me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just know it because I've worked places that have security, and like rent-a-cops can't put their hands on you.
I've worked in the mall at a clothing store before, but the one thing they did tell us, because they used to say that we could call security, but that, not that they could, like, I don't think they ever put it in explicit terms, maybe because they didn't want us to know that they couldn't, that they were basically useless, but they can't even stop you from leaving.
I don't think so.
When I worked at a standalone Old Navy and like a strip mall, they told us, because we had a loss prevention meeting like every other day because it was out of control. They told us that if we suspected it, we just had to like report it. We had to call the police, and that we should not physically try to prevent someone from leaving, and that we could not accuse someone directly of stealing. Like, we couldn't say you're stealing, or I saw you stealing, even if we did, we couldn't say that. And I think it was because maybe someone had said that one time and they got their shit wrecked or something like that. Like, they just wanted to minimize all possibility of physical violence. And I'm like, who do you think I am? You guys pay me like $10.25. I am not chasing a shoplifter out of this store. You don't have to worry about it.
No. When I worked at the bank, training was like, if there is a robbery, give them the money.
I will give them all of the money.
Do not hit the alarm until they have left the building.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty safe to say that I don't have much experience with rent-a-cops, but I do know that these rent-a-cops were overly dedicated to their job this day, and they really needed to stop these two young men from stealing a disc. We need this disc, man.
They need it.
And they, but for me, it's the way that they both looked straight ahead at the, like, nowhere else. They didn't look anywhere else. Like, they tunnel vision straight ahead and then slipped it into their shirts at, or their jackets at precisely the like same time in unison, and then turn around to a cop. Like, why didn't you look around first? Why didn't you make, like, you guys are horrible at stealing stuff. This is why you're fucking shattering the glass of a vending machine in broad daylight, even though you're in a shady ass hallway. Like, I don't know. Like, this is just not good. This is not good thievery. This is not smart thievery. But I don't know if they ever claim to be smart. So, I mean, maybe I should not be so, have so many expectations.
Yeah.
It's so bad, but they get pursued by at least like 3 to 4 cops. I mean, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of mall cops in here, but they eventually are clotheslined by one really, really happy fellow, and he must be getting a reward check cut for how happy he is to have apprehended these two. These two ne'er-do-wells. Like, I hope he's getting a check from that.
He's not. He's getting fired because you can't put your hands on teenagers like that when you're a rent-a-cop.
He's not. He is going right to the unemployment line. That sucks, guy. So you looking really happy is... Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe they do it different in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So this A plot. Okay. We have to talk about the fact, one, that Tracker is still with the young lady that he brought home.
Mm-hmm.
In Gangsta Gangsta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Beat It. Beat it, young lady. Like, get the fuck out of this house, because I have a lady friend over tonight.
Yeah. And this
which is a good length of a relationship. Go you.
Yeah, it looks like she's moving to Alberta with him.
I would think so by her upbeat nature. I don't think that you delightfully help the boyfriend you've been going steady with for months and months pack like that to another territory unless you're going. You've got a seat in the car. I'm going to say she's got a seat in the car.
I think she's got a seat in the car. I've been dreading this episode. You know I've been dreading this episode.
I know, because you're going to miss your tracky
He's
boy.
He's just a single brother who works two jobs, loves his Sean.
And honestly, if that fucking oil job was not in Alberta, the shit would have worked out. Like,
I don't understand why he couldn't be like, look, Sean, find a friend you can stay with for the rest of the year,
and then come and you can start the year fresh at a school in Alberta.
Or even, fuck, stay out this month in the apartment. And I don't like, Tracker's like a dick about it.
He is,
and I get
yeah.
it, because he's frustrated, because he sees what Sean's doing with fucking...
Yeah, out being a fucking knucklehead in these streets with fucking, like, dumbass Jay.
It does not take him 24 hours to fuck up this arrangement.
Yeah, and we've
he
got that...
He wakes up in the morning, he very clichely has... Chocolate
kids
milk
breakfast
and chocolate cake for breakfast. It's adorable, yeah, though.
It's so good. And I mean, to be fair, that probably hits until you realize I need
and
sustenance.
Then he's like, and yeah, but you can figure that out at lunch.
At lunch, yes. When your sugar crash. Actually, well, I mean, in high school you do eat pretty early because, like, your sugar
it's
that
like
crash
10:30 in the morning.
That shit's gonna have you plummeting.
They start lunch
right
at like
around
10:30 in the morning.
Yeah. He's going to need it right around that time because he's going to be plummeting from all that sugar.
So much sugar.
But yeah, it really is only 24 hours. That montage would have you right, think. Right,
because he's like, let's have a party, you know. Amy's like, can I come over?
Fucking Amy. Shows her midriff. Amy's- yeah, of course you can. It's you. You all can. It's not just my house. It's our house. I said why, the title Sean, of the episode. Why would you say it?
I know. I love that he did that.
I do too. Right. And it's like, and they're.
And I get it because his family just left.
Yes, he wants that chosen family vibe, and I love a chosen family vibe. And I'm not saying but that Sean, Jay choose
better family.
Please choose better family. But choose Jay better and better
family.
I don't hate Jay and Alex after this. I will say that. But going this whole party montage is the most infuriating thing in my life because as someone who has only been paying my own bills because of this economy for several years, if someone walked into my house, into what I pay for, with some alcohol slung over their shoulder and thinking they're going to party on a random night without calling, I don't care what year it is, we're fighting. We're squaring up. And
yeah, but you're not fucking 16.
Clearly not. And I mean, even, I don't know, even if my
with no family.
16-year-old Avis.
With no family.
With no family,
16-year-old Avis had family.
I had very, very...
16-year-old Sean Cameron had Tracker.
I had very good family. And two unstable parents. Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing is... But
it's also really infuriating. And, like, Mr. L believed in you, bro.
We rooted for you. We all rooted
he
for you.
He saw and himself in you. And he said, I'm going to take a chance on you.
And, like, not having those stable family relationships obviously makes it super difficult to set boundaries. And that is one of the biggest things that, like, Sean has struggled to do historically. It's not just in this episode. I think this episode culminates in him drawing a boundary line for Jay and, like, you're not going to, like, kick me around. Like, they've had this tussle before. And I think that it sticks in some way or another now in this episode going forward that like I am going to do what's in my best interest. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. But there's definitely like a back and forth of a power struggle between them. And it Sean just does not know how to set healthy boundaries. He does not know how to say no. I'm not going to do that, or no, you're not going to do that because this is my space and I need to study. He's opened the door. He does know how to close it, but it's definitely something that I find that the show explores really well over time and that they make, you know, they age up his, like with him, with his storylines and make it more apparent that like, not having a stable family life affects you in multiple ways. It's not just one way. Like you're not just gonna, you know, some people struggle with substance abuse. Like they depict Sean, you know, having an episode where he drinks too much and everything. But some people will just literally let other people walk over them because they want people around them and they want to feel like they are in a family, a chosen family and somewhere safe. And where people have their best interests at heart.
Which is, again, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. And it sucks because I think for the most part, he does choose okay. I think that it just really feels like Jay... I think more because of the end of the plot where... Jay and Sean kind of Jay waves the white flag and shows his vulnerability. I think that's what I like about Jay as a character is that they give him like, of course he's an outright dick, but they definitely give him moments of like humanity. Like they kind of did with Spinner at first where they
no, gave I'm peace. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Asking how's Amy?
Yes, okay, but the thing with that is an asshole, if he was just supposed to be the one-dimensional asshole, they are not going to give him, like, it's enough for me. He's an asshole, but him saying, it's enough. Like, I'm not saying that I mean, he gets the noble peace prize. I mean, I get that maybe it's him waving prize. The white
flag. I just feel like the bar is in hell.
The bar can be in hell, but it's like in this situation, there's not many like winners.
I know it's like a 20-year-old episode of a show about, you know, children.
But it just feels like Jay is always has that soft underbelly. And they're trying to get us to, like, they're primping us for seeing more in Jay. And, like,
yeah,
it's not like I'm a Jay apologist. I'm not a Jay apologist, but I can tell that he's one of the characters that I never fully committed to disliking. He never fully gets me to where I'm like, fuck you, Jay, I just don't like you. I don't get there with him. I do get very irritated at him on multiple accounts, but I think I get very irritated with several other characters that I ultimately am, you know.
I feel like Jay is a character, but Jay is just a plot device. Like, Jay is just an agent of chaos.
He is an agent of chaos.
When someone needs to fall apart.
They do. And I mean, JT, we can have Emma, a whole retrospective Manny, on Jay. That's a pretty, Sean, I think that's Spinner, will hold up, you know, time and time again. It'll hold up. But in being a plot device, they do, because I agree, but I do think that through being a plot device and being put through different situations with different characters,
I'm not saying that there's no there's development there, there's dimension there, but right, I feel like Jay is largely just used as an agent of chaos.
I mean, agree
seriously,
with that. Yeah.
How many people fall apart under Jay's guidance?
Yeah. No, I can definitely agree with that. I think that he's just there, you know, bummer times, at least there's a party type of thing. That is his main function in a lot of plot lines. I really do think the writers get to a point where they're like, okay, I'm bored. Let's go back to that, like, whole big wall of plots that we have lying around in case we've got some shit, you know, time to kill. And they usually insert Jay in there because why not? He's the bad guy and everybody likes the charismatic bad guy. And I mean, to an extent, I do like a charismatic bad guy. That's probably why I'm like, you know, he's entertaining. He is definitely
entertaining and he is charismatic.
He is definitely used as a plot device.
Can we talk about how he, like, makes duck lips when he dances? Did you notice that when he was dancing with Alex and he's like...
I don't think I did, but I think that was because I found the dancing in the montage pretty cringe.
It was cringe, but it was also really cute.
I think I'm wondering what they're dancing to, because the music that is over the scene, while it could be the music they're dancing to, I just know it's not.
Why? Because none of them seem to be dancing to that beat. This is a largely white party. You think the Montreal boys got rhythm?
No, no, I just don't. I think it's kind of because they played this similar music over other scenes where it's a montage or an act, like it's instead of the dialogue. It just makes me feel like it's more in the ambiance and not what they're really dancing to. But it maybe could be me giving the show like way more credit than it gives itself. But yeah, they're partying it up. They are using all of somebody who got them all this booze, because I know the drinking age is like 18 around this time. Where did they get all this booze from?
The Montreal boys. I don't know. I just like saying the Montreal boys.
Such a dumb name. Yeah.
It's so dumb. I love it.
But Amy has to be constantly reminded that she broke up with Sean. She is up his ass. I think I've said
She's
it before.
So
like
up
an
his
enema.
Ass.
She is very far up his ass, and it's very, it's like one of those kids, kid like issues where, oh, there's a toy over there that I was not concerned with. I discarded it. And then some other kid grabs it and wants to play with it. And now I want that toy back. It's my toy. That's Amy's deal in this episode. And
yeah, Amy's really annoying.
My world famous Avril Lavigne impression. It actually, I will always say that that is not a bad Avril Lavigne impression.
It's not a bad Avril Lavigne impression. It's truly not.
It's truly not. That is what I remember about Amy, is she truly does not have a bad Avril Lavigne impression, and she might just and be able to call it world dick famous. Down at
the ravine.
And she'd be sucking dick down. Yeah, I mean, damn. Life's vocation sometimes is, yeah. But I definitely think that Ellie is probably the most lackluster part of this episode. She literally blends into the background for me on several occasions.
Yeah, like, I forget I'm supposed that she's to be showing there. Her grace, but...
And I always forget that I am supposed to be trashing her to the fact that, like, it's so easy to trash her. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, that is what I'm supposed to be doing here. Yeah, it's very forgettable. Even so, for me, I know we talked about it before, one of the Degrassi, like, awkward, flailing, wacky, waving inflatable man runaways.
Wacky, waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. It's not that
thank
hard.
Thank you, Boo. Yes, it is. I'm not doing all that right now. thank you for always having my back. But yeah, she does that little awkward run away.
Yeah, I had that in my note because you know I love an awkward Degrassi runaway.
And it's just like, Ellie, oh my gosh.
I'm moving to Alberta. We have to break up. And she's just rushed.
She just does like a look to her left, a look to her right, and then bolts in the slowest way possible. She hauls ass out of there, except she doesn't. She goes really, really, she takes very tiny steps. She takes very tiny steps.
The tiniest steps.
Tiny.
But they're so fast.
Her arms are like down at her sides and her hands are like up. She's like, it's like she's mummied. It's like someone kind of wrapped her legs, maybe. And that would explain the posture and her running away. I don't know, but it's really weird. And even their whole little woohoo when she finds
when she
out
jumps
that,
up on him, yeah.
Yeah, when he's not moving to Regina, which is not
Alberta.
I know, but Regina is so
I have a friend.
Her grandma lives in Regina.
I have a friend who goes by Reggie, but their name is Regina. And I know that they're really polite, so if I leave them a message, they will answer or they will listen to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'll leave them a message that's like, hey, this is what it would sound like if I pronounced your name the Canadian way and sang it to the tune of the Mexican Hat song. And then I'm just like, Regina, 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 Regina. It's always a good time.
Oh my gosh.
Had by me, at least.
I was going to say had by you. Yeah. 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 Well, there's some food for thought if you ever think of naming your child that. Yeah.
Canadians call it Regina.
They do. And it just always sidebusts me that that's an actual pronunciation that multiple people use every day with a straight face. It's fine. It's fine. I'm just a child. But once she finds out that he is, in fact, not moving to Alberta, she does this cute, and I mean, it is comparatively cuter than the cringiness of her run, but it is still like,
it's fine. It's fine.
I think I just find them like white bread. Not in like...
They don't have good chemistry.
They don't have good chemistry. they don't pop on the screen together. And it's only that I don't feel compelled. Like, when they are together, I don't feel compelled to watch them together. There's nothing coming. There's no chemistry to be absorbed for me. Because some people you watch together and you can feel it. And you're like, ooh, this feels like a private moment. Even, and not that I want to necessarily see that between kids. It's more just like, I think that there is an element of acting with someone where you kind of bring that certain like pizzazz and energy to it that uplifts the material. And I think multiple other, even like Spinner and Paige, are a really charismatic couple to watch on screen. It doesn't really matter what they're doing or what they're saying. You are engaged because of their dynamic and because of the energy that the characters and actors have. And it's just not here. I don't care. I am more interested in Jay and Alex and Liberty and Towers, who are literally the peripheral. And more obviously, Liberty and Towers are the peripheral. We don't even get to see them together on screen. But like, I'm more interested in seeing what Jay and Alex have going on, because their chemistry is way more interesting to watch than Ellie and Sean. Even Amy and Sean have more chemistry than I would say Ellie and Sean do. It's just not
when
there for
she's
me.
She's like, when Amy's sitting next to him on the couch in the montage, and mm-hmm. Ellie's sitting on the other side of him and just kind of like grabbing onto his arm.
Yeah, pulls him back. Yeah. It's like, girl, be a little bit more convincing.
It doesn't work for me.
Be more convincing. Like, this just not. Yeah, it doesn't work for me either. And it's kind of. I don't know why they always do this to Ellie, why they always make her have to fight in the streets for a man. But, yeah, like, she's got to take her shoes off and her earrings, and she's got to smear Vaseline on her face and beat somebody's ass for a man.
And then
that's what
Amy
it feels like.
Way too drunk.
She walks in the door with the damn beer bottle. Can we talk about that? Never
Multiple
in my life.
We
never
see
in
her.
My life. And I'm a grown-ass woman at this point. Have I walked into the party with a beverage? Maybe you call me a little bitch for that. I've never done it. I have never walked in the party with the beverage already on deck. Maybe it's open container. I don't do that open container shit. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I did it in college, but I doubt it. Damn, girl, you walking in with a beer bottle already and you're like, it is off. Like, the cap is off. You've been drinking it for a bit.
Yeah.
It's not like you just pop the cap off from one of, like, give me a brew, Jay, when you guys got out of the car or something. No, you've been drinking this. She's fucked up when she walks into the door. So, yeah. She can hold her alcohol for a teenager fairly impressively. She can.
It's very sad.
It's sad. It's an impressive. It's a sad kind of impressive. Yeah. It's a kind of impressive that you probably, it's not good to have achieved at 16 years old. Barely. Because they're 15 at this point, right? They're still.
Well, I don't know. Because Sean.
Right. How old is.
And are they in the same
and
grade?
Alex,
like,
and
I don't believe
I don't,
that Jay is a freshman.
I don't think that, no, I think he's probably, no, I don't think that, he's an adult man.
He's like 37.
He pays when taxes. Jay-
When Jay Hogarth came out of the womb, he had a fucking corkscrew in one hand, and a fucking Roth IRA in the other.
Not a Roth.
Yes, because IRA. He's like 53 years old.
Oh my gosh, he is. He's so old. I don't know how they expect us to buy. It's fine. It is what it is.
He was
this
only
show's...
18 when he started.
He
on
looks
Degrassi, so.
So elderly. No, he looks so mature.
He doesn't look elderly. He just looks so much older than all of these children.
He really does look like he's about to, like, get his AARP card and his subscription to Rogaine shortly. Like, he's looking like he's Oh my gosh, this man is mature. But yeah, we don't know how old these people are. We have no idea. But they
Well, no, we do. Okay, because Alex is in the same grade as Paige.
Oh, Paige, as Paige, right. That is solidified because they have to be for some things later. Yeah.
Is Jay a year old? I don't know.
Is Jay mythical... in the same grade as Paige?
Jay is basically, you've seen ageless. Dazed and Confused, right?
He's a vampire, yes.
He's Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right.
Matthew McConaughey is such a fucking conversation that I'm not having tonight. But yes.
That's fine. I'm not, yes. I'm not, but like, he's but that no, guy no. who's I'm like saying still I have... hanging around.
Yes, yes.
The high school.
Dazed and Confused is such a good movie. Yes. I don't feel... I was not saying that to shut down your Matthew McConaughey reference. I was more just saying that I have thoughts on Matthew McConaughey that I shall not tangent onto.
That's fair. That's right fair. Now.
But there are thoughts. And, yeah. Gosh, Jay. But I really don't, I have such respect for a teacher that, like, puts some level of his, like, you know, word on the, like, on the line to help a kid. He goes out of his way to, because he can, you know, understand what it's like to be from a first generation, a first generation high school graduate, and he's trying to help Sean get there.
He's trying to help Sean get there. He knows that, like, because Sean's not dumb.
No. He's
he
just
been, yeah. lacks any discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because his parents didn't set a good example, and Tracker's doing the best he can, but he can only do so much.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that it's kind of, that's, maybe that's what we're supposed to take away from their interaction, Tracker and Sean, is just that they have walked together for as far as they can walk together, and they need to separate. Sean needs to stand on his own two feet for a while, and like, no, I don't buy that for a second.
No, because Tracker leaves... And Sean, in the course of one montage that's maybe 36 hours long, destroys everything just about.
He does almost just, I think more he
a girl almost
just
dies.
I think he almost destroys everything, but the fact that, in my opinion, I always think of, like, the worst case scenario, maybe this is just anxiety and not, this is not me endorsing this way of thinking, this is just kind of how I am. I kind of exhaust all of the bad options or all of the bad avenues. And then when the thing actually happens and it's not that bad, I can kind of move on easier than if I hadn't thought the situation through. But to take that idea of being like, exhausting all of the bad options, like, Sean has already did the most of the worst things he could do in this situation. So when he goes up to Mr. L and he says, I'm not signing this paper until I am sure you've convinced me that the partying is done, when Sean is like, I'm done with it, he knows that, like, he's already seen the worst that he wants something to get. He will never let things get like that again.
No, and I guess you're right, because Sean does do all right until he has to move back to a Sega, and that's not really his fault, because what were you going to do, like, let Rick shoot Emma, spoiler alert?
Right. Yeah, I think it's
just,
you know,
20 years old.
It is. Get caught up. But no, I think it's most certainly that he went balls to the wall. Anybody who has had no boundaries, who doesn't know how to set boundaries, he's gonna go balls to the wall. He's gonna try to do, you know, see where he can put, like, how far can I go with it? in all the aspects. So not only does he see how far the limits of his freedom can take him, he sees how far free, like how much freedom really does open the doors for bad shit to happen. Like when you are free to do whatever you want, you don't have anyone looking over your shoulder, looking out for you, or setting rules or bound or, you know, like any of those things, or even an authority figure. When you don't have that, many things can happen. And most of them are like fucking terrifying. So it definitely escalates, like you said, over the course of 36 hours. But I think that Sean doesn't need to learn a hard lesson twice. And it's a really good like lesson for him to realize, like, yeah, this shit can get really bad really quickly. And I'm really lucky that I get to live by myself and I can't abuse it. Not even abuse it, but like I can't let shit get out of hand because I'm responsible for this. I can't
take this for granted because...
Right, I can't take this for granted. Yep. This is what I need. This is my reality and this is what I need to be okay, because he does not want to repeat a grade again. He wants stability. He wants to continue the things that he knows, and I think that it's really a kind of crash course in regulating himself and regulating his environment. Yeah. And like saying no, when that doesn't mean that I don't like you and that we're not still friends, but like, no, I need to study for my exams or I'm not going to pass my, you know, the fucking year. I'm going to lose my year.
Right. And if you have a problem with that,
then you're not my fucking friend.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's what he learns. And I mean, even, and I will give a shout out to Ellie for holding him down, you know, holding somebody down when they're going through some bullshit is not easy. But at the same time, like, it's just so easy to forget she's there.
Yeah.
Even during the party scene where she's, like, asking him if he's going to be able to focus and she's got the book out in front of him trying to explain things to him. like, you can tell that the connection to them isn't there. Like, it just seems like Sean is more connected to the party than he is to Ellie.
Yeah, they don't have good chemistry.
Yeah, it's just, it's, this episode is rough because it's like so much of them, and it's not even so much of them. It's no, it's not much more than we get of Manny and JT. It's not too much more, but it's still enough for me to be like, gosh, you guys suck. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have, do you have anything else to talk about in this A plot?
Not really. No.
Just gonna miss you, Tracker. Hope you're making big oil money out in Alberta.
Stay safe, baby.
Please stay safe. Stay safe, stay sexy, stay blessed. Yeah. We'll miss you. This show has a fondness for you. So it's definitely...
You're a good man, Tracker Cameron. Remember that. You matter. And the impact that you leave on the world is important. And I love you. And I'm going to miss you. Aww. And I understand that we have to part ways now. But goddamn.
You don't wanna.
I don't. I love Tracker Cameron.
I know. I'm so sorry.
He could wear that awful pigtails bandana, yellow sunglasses look every day for the rest of our lives together, but if I got to spend my life with that man in some weird alternate Degrassi universe where my husband doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Tracker Cameron's a good guy, and he will be missed.
He will. And I'm just...
But no, yeah. That's about all I have to say on the A-plot. So, you want to talk about the music corner first?
I do. This is such a fun one. I think it's obviously named, as we've been talking, just because of the theme of the episode or the plot of the episode, but I actually think that the lyrics fit pretty well.
Yeah.
Let me pull them up. And I really did forget about this song. I swore that it was like a Folgers commercial or something. Some sort of coffee commercial.
I think it was at some point. It's definitely been used in commercials of some sort. So the first verse, most of it not super applicable, but father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired. She needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around.
Mm-hmm.
And that part, Tracker is leaving.
Yeah. Our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Yeah. But then, you know, our mom, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. So we've got no mom here, but, you know, the first part. Very much our house always has a crowd.
By and large, it doesn't work, but the vibe.
The vibe. The vibe. And some of the lyrics, if you,
and some
you know,
of the lyrics, if you really wanted to, like,
pick and choose stretch, and omit others.
If you were, like, getting ready for a gymnastics routine in the Olympics and you needed to really stretch, you could apply
it. I can't with
you.
I can't with you. But it's a good song. This is Our House by The Madness.
I think it's just madness.
It is just madness, not The Madness. Yes.
And it's a bop.
Released in 1982. Oh, and it's the one and only. Well, I mean, that's not surprising. Sorry, I thought that read different. This was their only U.S. hit, clearly. We had a UK invasion. So
before we head into the fashion corner, would you like to talk about our black hole?
Sadly, we already, you know, we already discussed it briefly, but RIP Tracker Cameron.
Well,
we will miss
Tracker,
you.
Tracker doesn't really count though, because we know where he goes. But this is the last time that we see Towers.
Is it? Oh, well, that makes sense. That part, I mean, he never, did we ever really, you know, get time with this man?
No, we never.
So,
Tracker, we hardly knew.
We hardly knew.
Towers, we hardly
Towers,
knew.
Towers, right. Tracker, we kind of knew you. Towers, we hardly knew you. We didn't get enough time with you. Definitely were robbed, but yeah.
If I had a, like, genie lamp, one of my wishes would be for more Towers and Liberty time. And some character development for this young man.
Yeah. Preach. Preach. He deserves it, but...
So pour one out for Towers, and we'll pour one out for Tracker, too. And the Montreal boys are never going to be seen or heard from again.
But
we don't need to pour one out for them. If we did, I feel like it would be Faygo.
Fuck the Montreal boys.
Do you think they're Juggalos, though? That's my headcanon.
That's fine. I don't know if I think anything about them bitches.
I just feel like Jay is not a Juggalo, but at least at this stage in his life, he's like Juggalo adjacent.
Okay. I'll allow it. Like I said, this is a safe place, you know? Yeah. Fashion.
I don't know a lot of fashion.
This shit was lackluster. Ellie got on like three of the same outfits.
Right? And they're all bad, but they've all been, like, I've called them out before.
You've called them out before for being bad.
I don't need another screenshot of this fucking outfit. It's bad. We all know it's bad.
So, two out of the three I flagged were actually Amy. Amy was serving in this episode for me.
That's fair. Amy looked cute a lot of this episode. What do you got for Amy?
So, I've got when, just before Sean says, this is not just my house, this is our house. I've got Amy opening up her little, because she has on a, like a workman's shirt if you've ever worked in an automotive setting, you don't want to get the greasy shit on your clothes, but she's not wearing the jumpsuit that guys who actually work on the cars wear because she's just in class. So she's wearing like a shrug over her midriff top. It's like a midriff sweater. I think she's wearing it in another scene. I don't like it as much as I like it with the combo of the oversized work shirt. And I got a shot of her, you know, obviously she's opening up suggestively, but it's really just her midriff. I think it's a cute look with the oversized shirt. Very of the time.
But makes her look cooler than she is.
It makes her look cooler than she is because when she takes off that overshirt, it's really just a long sleeved. It's a sweater. It's not that cute. But we elevate it with the greaser chic. But yeah. Do you want to go next or did you want me to just fire mine off?
Give me your other Amy's. Your other after that isn't Manny.
I have after that chronologically, yes, it is Manny, but I will shoot you my other Amy.
Yeah, because I only have two besides Amy and they're both Manny. Okay. So
same. My other one's Manny. But I have Amy at the party. The party, the infamous
where she does her world famous Avril Lavigne impression.
I don't think I got a screen. I don't remember.
Passes out drunk.
Yes, that is that one. Yes, the infamous alcohol poisoning party, and she's got an off the shoulder. It's like highlighter pink. I really don't miss this style of shirt. It is very flattering on like a handful of people.
It looks cute on Amy though.
It looks cute on Amy. So she's got the shoulders for it, but essentially it's a very thick one of those like bands that are typically at the bottom of sweatshirts, but for this kind of shirt it's a thick black band with green and pink colored like stripe around the top. Matching cuffs, and I think it complements her her hair, and just like I think that she's rocking it. It doesn't look like an outfit I think that any of the other main girls would wear. It's a very Amy outfit.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And she's killing it. I almost took a screenshot of her just to get the full when she was laying on the bathroom floor, but I'm like, it's in poor taste. But she does also have a really cute mini skirt on. It is in poor taste though, y'all. And I straddle the line. I'm not going to hell in a handbasket for this. So yeah.
I have Manny in that keyhole top that's mm-hmm. like white with green and pink. And the zip up like short sleeved red hoodie. She looks very cute there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I like the top that she's wearing when she confronts JT when he's trying to return his dance ticket.
Yes, same.
And of like course the patchwork jacket, but I've already said that.
That iconic. Yeah,
I love that it's the end of the year and we still need jackets. Classy Canada.
Stay Canadian.
Stay frozen Canada.
Yeah, y'all are frosty AF in May. But yeah, it's fine. I really think that I wish we got like the full of her outfit when Liberty's talking to her. Mm-hmm. I wish that we got like the full outfit of that because you just know that outfit was bomb. And I don't think it's an outfit, it's not an outfit repeat. So why waste a perfectly good Manny outfit and only give us like barely half, you know, of her body? But it's fine. Just casually looks like probably the cutest outfit in the episode and we barely get to see it, but it is what it is. After these horrible outfits, well, not horrible, there just weren't that many of them.
Move on over to shots fired.
Yes, let's move on over to fire some shots.
Pew, 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 pew.
Shots fired.
I have a couple of these. I have 11.
I've got... I also have 11.
Ooh. Is it? Will it be a different 11? Will it be the same 11?
You started fashion. Can I start Shots Fired?
Yes, go ahead.
My first one is Sean to Tracker when he's like, he's my best friend, okay? Dad.
So I have one in the same conversation just a little bit earlier, but I think it opens the scene. Sean saying, so some rent-a-cop banned me from the mall. Big deal.
My next one is JT to Liberty when she's showing him her Glorious Towers notebook. And he says, that's good. He's getting some practice for the mugshot. And there's this little like, at the end.
Yeah.
It like, he's very smackable in that moment.
No, actually though. I had that one too. My next one is Ellie saying to Sean, sorry, what I know about cars can be written on the head of a pin. And that's just a firing her a shot at her damn self, which we love self-deprecating queen. It's fun.
My next one is Amy saying, what's he see in that bloodless freak bag?
Yep. Mine, that was mine too. Spinner saying, JT, that's not Radich, but it's a way better choice if you're wanting to get some.
Which my next one is a continuation of that when JT's like, what if I said that about Paige? Or what if people said that about Paige? And he says, they don't. Because Paige isn't a slut and she doesn't go after other people's boyfriends.
Yep. I've got Jay saying, maybe if you weren't such a goof. Hey man, I was joking, psycho.
Before that, I have Spinner in a wrap-up to that previous conversation going, whatever, JT, I didn't mean to get all up in your fries.
I have Amy saying, right, and what are you, some blood-sucking vampire? And Ellie saying, keep laying on my boyfriend and you'll find out. Out. Keep laying on my boyfriend and you'll find out.
What the fuck? I have fucking Jay when Sean says to call for an ambulance and Jay's like, there goes your student welfare. Fuck you, Jay.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Fuck you,
Jay. He's such a dick.
He's such a dick. Jay saying, you know, I thought you were cool. You had me fooled. And Sean saying, I know the feeling.
Yep. I had both of those too, but before that, whatever. The Montreal boys are bored. Where are we moving the party? I want to know though, like, what is the, like, the Montreal boys? What are the Montreal boys have so boys... much power?
Right. What are they? What are they?
Why do you care, Jay? They can go back to Montreal.
Right. The Montreal boys aren't even in Montreal. What power do they have?
I don't know. Nobody speaks French in Toronto.
What powers do they have? Yeah, I don't know. Not good. Not a good look, Jay, to be out here being the, like, the publicist for the Montreal boys. Suck. They don't even dress that well. None of their outfits were notable.
No.
They look like every... bro in the background. Yeah, this was a good Shots Fired. I feel I'm happy that we were pretty aligned.
Me too. All right, so shining stars
Mr. L, but he's a plot device.
No, I'd say
is
he's...
he a plot? Does he come back? We get to see him again, don't we?
He's, I mean, let me look it up because we might have around? To amend our black hole to
Mr. L. Because that would suck if they, like, made me love this guy and then blackholed him. That would suck.
Nope, his last episode is Our House.
Damn it! Damn it, Degrassi!
So we've got another black hole, and we are definitely pouring one out for Mr. L. Because Mr. L is a fucking real one.
Why devote more time to making me like this man than you've ever devoted to giving Ellie Nash a healthy relationship? And then you take him away.
It's horseshit. I'm not pleased. We've lost some good... We lose some really good characters this season.
Yeah, I'm aggressively pissed. Yeah, I'm aggressively pissed about this. Y'all really suck for this. Y'all didn't even need... You were just unabashed, like, fuck him, huh? That's crazy.
Who else shines, though?
I think ultimately Sean does shine. I think he learns his lesson.
Yeah, but he also bums me the fuck out first.
He does bum me out extensively first, but I think that he has to... it's kind of like what I, like how he has to exhaust all of the bad things that he can possibly do to fuck up his, you know, his student welfare. He's got to be the dickiest dick he can be and like the worst for a good portion so that like the redeeming qualities, I don't know.
I get it.
Maybe it's not enough time. I don't know. It's possibly not enough time.
Too much of a bummer to qualify as a shining star for me. But you can make him a shining star. I'm not the fucking boss of you.
I want to congratulate him.
Nobody shines in this episode, really.
Yeah, I want to congratulate him for doing the work of realizing that, like, sometimes you got to have you, you know, and you got to take responsibility for yourself. But
I'm going to give it to Towers because you know what? At this rowdy ass house party where like God only knows what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
That young man is dancing by himself and texting his girlfriend. His girlfriend that he likes because she uses words like venerate and masterly.
Mm-hmm. When I tell you their relationship is so sweet, and I just think it sucks that we don't get any more of it. But they really are shining for me. I think Liberty and Towers, they do. They're in love. They're sweet kids. Give it to them. Liberty and Towers, go ahead.
There's really nothing else there.
There's really not. I don't... there's really not. It feels good, though, to say that, like, nobody was really shining in this episode except for the two crazy kids in love.
Yeah.
That's it. As far as the bummers go, I'm going to give it to Jay. I'm going to give it to Amy. She comes back, so she's not a plot device. She counts.
I'm going to give it to... fucking
Ellie. She's really annoying. Honestly, both JT and Manny are kind of the worst interchangeably, so they can go on there.
Tracker for abandoning us all.
For abruptly abandoning his responsibilities, aka Caroline.
And Sean.
And Sean, obviously. But, you know, we why would you abandon... Your biggest fan, Caroline.
Spinner.
Yeah, Spinner just casually drops in to fucking suck, you know?
Yeah. No, everybody's disappointing this episode. It is what it is. Fine.
Uh-huh. We can't have warm and fuzzies about all these people all the time. But it... still a good episode. I think overall, obviously, we've got to ask... did it go there?
Does it go there?
I think it goes there.
I think it goes there. We've got teen drinking that typically, not typically, that nearly led to like loss of life. That's pretty heavy, but it's also like being on your own, student welfare being abruptly, like your home situation changing abruptly and becoming destabilized once again. Like, those are heavy topics to confront in an episode that also has teen drinking. I think tonally it's very much a goes there episode because we really do get a lot of issues dealt with in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And still I still think very well, even for the amount of time we didn't have, you know. I could always use more time for them to like literally give Terry more development. Right. I always have time for that, but you know,
that's the not show important, doesn't. But I think it goes there.
Yeah, I think it goes there too.
Thanks for listening to your mom's podcast. Next week, the year comes to an end with a Bollywood-themed semi-formal that's just as disastrous as a Degrassi student should expect. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Mall Security, the Montreal Boys, and support from listeners like you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.
We'd like to take a moment to say thank you to our Patreon subscribers. Miranda Bickers.
June Bard.
Margot Mancini.
Octavia Faith.
And an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producer, Alika Fenderson.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.